It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them.
Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
You're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To me, the TB12 method is more than a new way to think about peak performance. My perspective may be that of a pro quarterback, but Alex and I have worked hard over the years to ensure that the TB12 principles are applicable to anyone who is committed to a healthy, holistic lifestyle.
40 is just a number. It's just a number.
No. Blood Sugar Sex Magik was a great album.
Boo.
You guys disagree on this one.
You can rip on the stuff they did after this, but Blood Sugar Sex Magik is a great Red Hot Chili Peppers album.
I loved Mother's Milk.
And then when this
came out, I said, this stinks.
You know what's funny is that the first time I heard it, I didn't like it as much as well because it was so different than Mother's Milk. But then I ended up loving it.
But this is also a band that's aged so painfully.
I know. You can't let what they are now taint what they were.
Like, I never liked this album. I have to say I didn't. And this is not me hating on things. I loved Blood Sugar Sex Magik. Or not Blood Sugar Sex
Mother's
Magik.
Milk.
Mother's Milk.
Sure.
And even though part of it now, like, is like, I'm like, eh. Knock Me Down is one of the great songs of the 90s. But or it was that 89 was one of the great songs of that era. But no, I'm not. I, I never got over it. It was like when 5150 came out, and I was like, I can no longer ride with Van Halen.
Well, I kind of goes with the theme then, because I didn't mind Van Hagar. I thought Van Hagar wrote good pop songs. And by the way, 5150 is a great album. That's a solid album.
But you have to understand, I loved Van Halen so much. They were like the first band, them and Judas Priest, that I was obsessed with.
Sure.
So I believed that Dave was kicked out of the band, and so I sided with Dave. And then I loved Eat 'Em and Smile, which I still do. Eat 'Em and Smile is still a quality album.
Yeah.
I still listen to it, but I could never get into 5150, so we'll have to agree to disagree. Far more people on your side about Blood Sugar Sex Magik, but...
Well, so what the theme for this morning is on September 24th, 1991, exactly 30 days today. Some people are calling it the greatest album release day of all time. And the albums that came out on that exact day, from rock to rap to top 40, it's just insane the amount of mega albums that were, not even mega albums, but just like influential albums as well that came out at that time. But we'll be playing those songs all this morning. But I do love that album. And that's probably the last Red Hot Chili Peppers album that I loved. And then after that, it was just like, Rick Rubin made them, and he ruined them.
They got radio. Well, they had the awful album that George Clinton produced.
Oh, no. See, I loved Funky Styly. Like, that's a great album.
Freaky Styly.
I'm sorry, Freaky Styly. Freaky Styly. It's a great album.
I don't know about
Black
that.
Black Eyed Blonde. You didn't like Thrashing? That was the Freaky Styly era.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm also, the Fishbone were such a better band. In fact, Spin just put something out about how they were so much better.
But you have to understand, I was like a gumpy, like, redneck kid living in Georgia. And so I didn't know Fishbone. Like, Chili Peppers were one of my first,
but
like,
Fishbone were on a major.
Kind of music.
They were on a major, and the major didn't push them and market them correctly. It's one of the great tragedies.
You're probably
in music. Well, follow them on Instagram. They'll tell you. All right. Bert Breer from MMQB joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Hotline. Bert, I'm going to ask you this question again. We've asked you this before. I wonder if your answer's changed. Is next Sunday night the biggest regular season game in NFL history?
It's up there. I mean, I would say, like, the biggest one since I've been covering the league was probably Favre going back as a Viking. Now, like, Favre wasn't a Packer.
There's a book coming out about this.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
There's the Guerrero angle. There is a Super Bowl that was won by the. I mean, I get it, and I get what an icon Favre was in Green Bay.
The only thing that one has over this one is that Favre came back as a Viking, which would be for people around here the equivalent of Brady coming back as a Jet.
Yeah, no, but I would argue.
Yeah,
but I would argue that the fact that Brady won the Super Bowl last year and Belichick's team was under 500 makes the adds an element that's even worse than that. Because I get, you know, the Minnesota and Green Bay, how they're, you know, they've been rivals for 100 years since probably before the.
Right. And Favre kind of orchestrated the whole thing through deception and, like, trade me wherever. Then he goes to the Jets and asks for his release a year later.
He can go
to where the Packers didn't want to trade him. But, yeah, no. I think there's no question. I mean, like, you look at Brady's legacy versus Favre's legacy, and Favre's a great player, but Favre isn't Brady, you know? So there's no question that, you know, like that. This one has something over that one. I can't think of one, guys. I mean, like, I try to fend against hyperbole.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think it probably is, like, as far as just the drama and all that, like, take playoff stakes out of it, but just as far as storylines and drama, I can't imagine there was another one like this one.
All right, well, let me ask you then about this week where you had Tom Brady's dad and now Alex Guerrero all just joining in to sling mud towards Bill Belichick. You've read the Seth Wickersham book. Do you think this is a reaction to the upcoming book and what might be in it, and they are trying to proactively try to make Bill Belichick look bad because things aren't going to look so hot for Tom Brady once this thing is released?
If you're asking if I think it's orchestrated, the answer is no. And the reason why is because I don't think that Tom Sr. and Alex huddled and planned this whole thing out, you know, with Tom on a conference call. Like, I don't think that happened. I think that those stories came out as a result of Tom Curran having a relationship with Brady Sr. and Karen Garesian having a relationship with Alex Guerrero, and those reporters kind of trying to work ahead, right? And like basically think to themselves, okay, these guys might get shut down during game week, so I better get to them early. So I think that that's why those came out. But as far as like the tone of those interviews and where those guys were willing to go and what those guys were willing to say, yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely, I think there's definitely some level of, I think what I call it, Rich, is a defense mechanism, right? Like you may not know exactly what's in the book, but you may think you're not going to like it. So, you know, where, you know, in a normal circumstance, you wouldn't be willing to say certain things. Now it's, well, if this is going to show their cards, then maybe it's time for me to show mine.
Does Alex Guerrero have a reason to be nervous?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything. And again, like I read this book like 3.5 months ago. So like, I can't remember every single detail. I'm going to reread it. I think over the next few days, because I feel like I'm going to need to. But
you're a good friend reading that book, by the way. When all you're doing is writing about football and some guy hands you a tome about football, I would be like, oh, Jesus, I don't want to have to read this stupid thing. So you're a good friend. I was under the impression that you probably didn't read it because that's the last thing I'd want to do if I was you. But you're a good friend.
I read it in June when things were slow. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything specific in there that's going to make Alex. Like, I don't think there's anything specific in there that's going to make Alex look bad. I think more so like Alex's methods and Brady's commitment to their methods, I think sort of are used to paint just like how Brady is the way he is. And I've said that to you guys a few times, right? Like that, like I think that what the book does is it dives into the psychology of Brady and Belichick and the lengths to which they were willing to go in several different areas, and not like just the nefarious stuff, but the lengths to which they were willing to go to achieve greatness.
Well, there's rumors that the book discusses PEDs because, I mean, obviously there was some questions about things. I mean, all the way back
to...
There's no mention of that in this book?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no PEDs in the book.
What about the Edelman stuff? Like, you know, where he got pinched for it, and remember he was doing the TB12 method at the time? There's no mention of any of that?
I'd have to go back and look at it, but I don't think it dives into Julian suspension or anything like that. No, I don't think so. I mean, it does go into like how, you know, teammates wound up going to TB12. And I mean, look, like if you want to talk about the recruitment of teammates, look at the Buccaneers. I've said this to you guys a few times. Like, I believe the number is 27 of the 53 Buccaneers are working with Guerrero now. I honestly like feel like it's a part of the storyline, but no, I don't think that there's anything specific about Julian and Guerrero and, you know, any sort of, I don't think there's any sort of finger pointing as far as like Guerrero being involved in Julian's suspension.
All right. So it's boring, the book.
No, honestly, it's there's got to be something in this thing that has got everyone all riled up and pissed off. And I know you're saying that, you know, there might be in their head saying that, you know, they don't know what's in it. So they're being proactive in this way. But I mean, these guys have to know. Like, I mean, Bert, you have a copy of the book. All these guys have friends in the media. They have to know what's in it already, correct?
I think they probably would. I don't know. I mean, like. All right, so like, let's say they do have a copy of the book and there's stuff in there that pisses them off, then maybe some of this is just wanting to get your side of the story out first. And again, I don't think it was orchestrated. Like, I don't think Guerrero and Tom Sr. and Tom Jr. sat down and said, here's what we're going to do. I think that those stories were a result of two really good reporters who have standing relationships with these people that went to them. You know what I mean? Like, and those people were willing to talk. And I think the reporters went to them a week early because they anticipated, and I think this is smart of Tom and Karen too, they anticipated that if we go to them the week of the game, they're going to have been shut down already. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So like, I don't think it's anything more than that. I don't think there was any plan to get this, you know, get this narrative out there, you know, but I do think that like just what's coming over the next week, I think the Brady camp's like knowledge that, the Brady's camp's knowledge, the Patriots have a habit of getting their story out there in addition to the book, you know, maybe made Tom Sr. and Alex feel like when they were going to go talk to Karen and Tom, like, hey, you know, and maybe this is the time for me to speak a little bit more freely, because if we don't get our side of the story out there, then the Patriots will.
Well, ultimately, I see this as a massive pissing contest ahead to kind of get ahead of everything next week. Can we all agree that Seth is going to drop something on Monday morning, Bert?
Yes.
I don't know. I actually do not know for a fact whether he will or not.
I'm going to play this audio next week, Bert. You have been so coy, and I know there's something in this thing. I know you're hiding something, Bert, and we're going to get it to you. We're going to get it out of you, sir.
We have 45 minutes.
All right. Leave the poor guy alone.
All right.
I'll tell you, though, you're doing a great job selling the book, though. I can't wait to read it. I'm not reading this thing anyway. It's too much. It's too much. We got to talk about the Patriots 20 hours a week. I can't be sitting there reading it. Someone smarter than me will read it to them. Give me the answers. All right. Well, Bert, a lot to get into, obviously, around the league. But I'll tell you, I've never seen any regular season game like this. And we can talk about New Orleans and talk about very interesting about this being a look-ahead game, this being a trap game, as we hear so much about in college football. You don't hear trap games too much in the NFL. College football is where you hear about all the trap games. Am I right or am I wrong? Trap games are very college football kind of thing. So,
yeah, and it's almost like they're not playing the Saints. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. And they got to feel that way.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's hard if you're Belichick to shield your players from that completely. But man, I mean, like. And it's not like the Saints are even a bad team. I mean, I know Breeze isn't there anymore, but they won their division 4 years in a row.
They beat Green Bay and Green Bay. I mean, I know they crapped themselves last week, but I mean, they beat Green Bay and Green Bay. I mean, that's
like the Bucks won the Super Bowl last year. The Saints won that division.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad team, you know.
Yeah, all right, so we'll get into all that. John, I'm sorry I keep distracting you on Zoom.
What the hell, Fred? Seriously.
I mean, those aren't even my VIP cards that I'm showing you.
Yeah, Bert, you can't see this, but during when you were answering some of the questions, Fred was holding up some of his more expensive cards to the camera.
No.
I pulled up the stream yard. I can see it now.
Okay, good.
My expensive cards?
Oh, those weren't the expensive ones. Okay.
Talk about a 9-to-5 or nickel and dimer.
I'm sorry, Fred.
That's a Juan Soto rookie mint 10.
Ah, okay.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
Just pulled, freshly pulled.
You think you got the good stuff. I have Dairy Queen dipping sauce.
Nice. I know.
Which we have to.
It's honey mustard.
DA must have made an appearance. It was another pizza party.
Where is there a Dairy Queen near here? And I want to know where it is.
I have one right around the corner from where I live.
Natick, right?
Yeah, Natick. I go there all the time. Yeah.
Right on the Whalen line, right?
Yes. Well put. That's exactly right,
Bert. Bert, I'm looking at you now on Zoom. It's almost like you went to Ohio State.
I got my Lincoln Sudbury helmet over there, too. See?
That's good. The trap game. Ohio State looking forward to that big matchup with Tulsa.
How'd you get a Lincoln Sudbury helmet?
That's what I want to know, too. How did you get that?
They gave it to me. I actually, when I was in high school, a couple of my friends, figured out a way to steal their helmets, when we were seniors. And I didn't know how to do it until after we'd already returned our equipment. So I was putting together our basement, and I've got some relationships with some people over there. And so I emailed the athletic director and I said, I'm setting up my background. I'd love to have some stuff. You know, I've got all this Ohio State stuff. So I'm like, I'd love to have some stuff from my high school. And the AD just sent me a helmet. So that was that.
That is cool. A TikTok challenge now, by the way. Have you heard about this? It's like people stealing stuff from their high school and putting it on TikTok and then immediately getting arrested, which is like, why would you squeal on yourself? It's one of the dumbest things ever. Like, people are stealing the hand dryers off of the wall of restrooms and then taking them.
I do still have my high school jersey. I just don't have my high school helmet.
During the break, search North Farmington High School student ID cards, And the high school that I went to does something that is a national, big national thing every year. And just Google North Farmington High School student ID cards, and you can see what they do. Rich, I think you actually might think it's fairly clever.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Yes, the low-end theory, 30 years ago.
Also released on September 24th, 1991.
Tremendous, tremendous album. Bert Breer from MMQP is here. And
it makes me think of like the movie Boiler Room for some reason.
Was this,
you guys remember that?
Was this on the Boiler Room? Was a good movie.
Boiler Room is a good movie.
Yeah, was this on that soundtrack? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure this is on that soundtrack, yeah.
That was.
I feel like they played it a lot, too.
Was that Ben Affleck as the Alec, the character from Glengarry Glenn Ross, essentially, who came in and told him about looking at the closer?
He shows up for about 5 minutes of the movie and disappears.
Yeah, he's in like when all the interns are in there, right?
Yeah.
Like, and like he's giving them the locker room speech.
That's right. Hit the road, Schleprock. Yep.
Yeah, it was the Alec Baldwin character from Glengarry Glenn Ross when he walked in there. But that was Vin Diesel and I forget who else, but I do remember liking
Giovanni
that film.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, that's right. What happened to him, man? Where did he go?
Scientologist.
And the dad, who was the dad was
oh, very God,
who was the
character actor, yeah. What was his name?
I don't remember. It's been so long.
Because the dad played a judge, I believe,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yep.
Right.
Could you cast Vin Diesel in that role today?
No.
like after what he's done, his career arc, I don't think you could cast him in the role as a banker at that point?
Stockbroker, yeah.
Stockbroker. Yeah. I don't think you could do that anymore.
All right, Bert. So is this a look past game? Is this a trap game for the Patriots? You just heard Adam Jones coming in talking about how, you know, no, it's almost like they're not playing this week. We had tickets to give away to this week's game, and I felt obligated to let people know we were going to have tickets next week as well. This just, this doesn't seem like an NFL game is happening this weekend.
It's so weird. And I understand like how big next week is and everything else. And maybe it's just a product of, you know, Brady Sr. talking.
Yes.
To Curran and obviously Guerrero talking to Karen. Mm-hmm. That's probably it, I guess, is one of the reasons why it's all we can talk about now. But I mean, look, this is always going to be a huge deal. It's just like that Saints team's capable of coming in here and beating you. Like if Jameis plays well, like I might pick the Saints, you know, like so. I think if you look at the rosters, I think the Saints have better players than you too. So, I think it's if they come with anything less than full focus, I think there's a really good chance they get knocked off, especially because the Saints are coming off a loss.
So there was an interesting thing, sticking with Foxborough before we jump around the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story that came out yesterday that Adam Schefter is going to be investing in the same gambling company that one of the investors is, the Crafts. I forget what the name of it is. Do you know it off the top of your head? It's
Boom Entertainment, I think it is, right?
Is that what it is? Okay.
I think it's something like that, yeah.
As a journalist, is there something ethically wrong with being involved with a gambling company when, especially one with one of the teams you cover, when the stuff that you specifically report could shift lines one way or the other? Like injury reports, you can sway one thing, you can hold on to information, and it could indeed affect, I mean, you've seen it happen before. It could affect the way that, you know, people end up betting in Vegas. Is there something ethically wrong with him being an investor along with a team owner and also with him being a reporter on the NFL when it comes to gambling?
I'll be honest with you, Rich, like 10 years ago, like this wouldn't even been anything, like we couldn't even talk about this.
Right. No, you're right.
Like, exactly. So I don't know where the lines are anymore. It's like this gold rush. And I don't know. I think eventually the bubble is going to burst, right? Like this money cannot just keep the way it's just getting thrown around now. I think there's going to be like some sort of reckoning where it's going to settle. And I mean, you're still going to be able to make money on sports gambling. I just don't think it's going to be like this forever. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, and I really like Adam. I respect Adam, everything else. But, you know, if there's, you know, where the lines are drawn, yeah, I mean, like, the people you cover, you're not supposed to be in business with them. You know, like, it's just, it's a pretty simple thing. Like, can you cover somebody? I mean, it's one of the reasons why, like, when I went and took the job at NFL Network, there was a dilemma there. And that was something I had to reckon with, right? Because I was going to go work for people I cover. And, you know, like, so I think, yeah, like there's no question that the idea of being in a business with somebody that you cover is an issue. And so, like, I guess in this case, he'd be in business with the page with Kraft, right?
Yeah.
And on
top of that, investors like, together in this company. Yes.
Right. And then on top of that, like, you know, you tangentially, like you do cover sports gambling now, right? Like doesn't the ESPN cover sports gambling?
Oh, well, they're putting lines on TV now, which, you said, they're that even 2 years ago, them doing that?
And so, like, I think we're in this period right now, guys, where there's been, like, there's just this massive gold rush, right? And what has been taboo forever is no longer taboo. And now everyone's trying to capitalize on it. And, it's just new lines need to be drawn. And the money grab has happened so fast that no one has time to draw those lines, you know? And so I think we're sort of in this weird period where eventually it'll probably settle, right? But I just don't know how long it's going to take.
Let me just follow up something as far as the gambling is concerned. I had read that there was a meeting amongst the owners recently where there was a discussion about in-stadium gambling.
MetLife has that, right?
There's a betting window in Arizona Stadium now.
Oh, that's
what I'm thinking of. Okay. They were the first to have a betting window in their stadium.
That is unbelievable. So is that
something? I thought it was going to take some time for us to get there because, and I think this actually relates to the pandemic too, Rich.
Yeah.
Because they have to make up for this money. And I hesitate to even call it money loss because you know the way those guys operate. Like they didn't lose money. They lost profit, right? Like that's something but I do think that like there was this idea before that they weren't even going to entertain the idea of having in-stadium betting until it was legal in every state that has an NFL team. We're not there yet.
No,
right?
No, close. I don't know if we're ever going to get there. You would think so, but there's got to be some states that are, you know, going to stay fairly puritanical and not do it.
Right. And it was this thing. There was this idea that like, we're only going to do it when we can do it across the board. And they've just stomped all over that.
They saw the money. You know, apparently in this meeting, the one that I was talking about.
Well, I think because they had to make up for the lost profit, like that's part of it, right? Like that, like, all right, how do we get back to where we were before? Well, you know, there's this just freaking treasure chest sitting there for them.
So tell me how this works. I've not seen this one in Arizona. I didn't know there was already one open. Can they go up and bet on the actual game that's being played in the stadium at that moment?
Yeah, I think they can.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. And
how much of a piece does the team get of that?
I'm not sure exactly how all of that works. But, you know, like one of the things that I know and one of the things I think is coming is, and this is how they're going to wind up monetizing it, in-game prop betting is going to happen.
Sure.
And I think like the way, and I think I probably said this to you guys before, but one of the ways that they really feel like they're going to be able to monetize it. And they think that this is going to be a way to get to the younger generation that has to be interactive with everything. Like the younger generation can't just sit there and watch a game for 3 hours.
Yeah.
They need some sort of involvement in it.
Yeah.
Is like, you're going to be able to go in and download an app onto your phone, and I can bet on the outcome of every play. I can bet on the outcome of drives. Jeez. And the reason why that can only happen in stadium is because of the TV delay. So like, you can't do that sort of thing full on.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that sort of thing full on at home. And if you're in stadium, you can, because the TV delay doesn't exist. So I think what's like, what was going to end up happening is they're going to try, but that's where like in stadium betting is going
to
be.
Dude, that's going to be a nightmare. They can't even get the ticket system right, where people are able to pull up their digital tickets before you get in, because all the signals get jammed.
With like, all unless of the money you're involved on the with all of the money involved with all the prop betting that Bird is talking about, I think they'll find a way to streamline that.
But
before they streamline tickets.
But John, think about it. But outside of like that new amazing stadium that Minnesota has, where they built it specifically so everyone can get great signals.
But I will bet, considering all the revenue that is out there for teams to get a piece of, they'll figure that out pretty quick.
Well, I mean, maybe that's a good side effect of this betting thing, is that now when you go to a game, you're going to be able to get a clear signal, because they don't want to lose out on that sweet prop bet money.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. All right. Well, it's certainly interesting, and I can't believe that Schefter was able to do that. I mean, it like Rich said, not so much even being in bed with the crafts. It's, I mean, you're a main breaker of news in the NFL, and yeah, your reporting can shift a line, and what you withhold can shift lines, and a bunch of other stuff like that.
I will say this: I do think those gambling companies very well could try to hire people like Adam too. Could be the next thing coming.
As you said, they're throwing around money right now. So they're like, it's like Netflix, when they would go to Chris Rock and say, hey, how about we give you $40 million for two specials? He's like, okay, sir, I'm done. They could go to Schefter and who knows? They might double his salary.
Well, and that's the thing is, it's funny money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take all of this to settle. I'll give you guys a good example of how lucrative the NFL was expecting us to be. You guys know how good a businessman David Tepper is, right? The new Panthers owner.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. He's I think he's worth $12 billion. He's one of the 30 richest Americans, right? And he overpaid a little bit for the Panthers, because there were other kind of relationships with other people bidding on it. So he overpaid a little. But the reason he overpaid is because he thinks that every NFL franchise is going to double in value as a result of gambling.
Wow.
Of legalized sports gambling. So
makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's and if the Broncos go up for sale, I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see it, because that could happen. Then we'll get a real look at how much one of these franchises is going to be worth in the sports gambling age, because you guys know this. There is no sport that benefits more off of gambling than the NFL.
No question.
True. All right, Bert, we will continue with you. Here are the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Who is this?
Pixies. Trompe Le Monde was released on September 24th, 1991 as well, which, in my opinion, is the best Pixies album. Didn't have as many hits as, like, Doolittle, but that album, it just kills. Like, the first four songs in a row are, it's one of the best starts to an album, just back to back to back to back. Great album.
All right, Bert Breer from MMQB is in studio. Or no, he's not. He's virtual in his office that I'm finally seeing, which tells the tale of his life. This is the first time I've seen it. When I'm at the at work, I don't look at the Twitch.
Oh,
yes,
you can't
John.
See the... Okay, so you don't get the... I got you. Yeah.
Yes, John.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about Jimmy Collins, who Detroit looks like he's going to trade, and of course...
Well, no, they're not look like he's
going to
trade.
They
Dan
are
Campbell
going to trade.
They told him not to come into work anymore.
They are going to trade him.
I love how direct Dan Campbell is, too. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Well, he goes, I want to be as open during this process as possible.
You out.
Yeah, he's like, we want to play these other guys, and don't even bother showing up.
Did you guys see when he cut the long snapper who had been there forever?
Yes.
Okay. Was that on the air that I was talking about
this? Yes, it was. Yes. It was on the air.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I had never heard of that guy in my entire life. They cut this long snapper. And
he had been there forever.
I know, and all of Detroit, loses their mind. Like, how did you do this, and why would you do this? And then they had to bring him back as a coach. Like,
So they cut him on his 40th birthday, and I guess Dan didn't realize that it was his 40th birthday, and so they asked him about that, and he just got up there and he's like, yeah, I could tell you some story about it and everything else. It's like, I'm just an a-hole, I guess. Like, I just didn't realize.
Everyone, I'd never heard the guy's name in my entire life, and everyone went nuts, and I think they brought him back as a coach. Because
right.
of the
yeah.
PR
the whole
ramifications.
Thing was that they cut him maybe the day before his 40th birthday, and Campbell got up there the next day and just said I'm an a-hole, I didn't realize that, it's my bad, I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I didn't realize that I was doing it right before his 40th birthday.
Well, Jamie Collins thing, he just straight up said, yeah, we're not really getting what we want out of him. Wasn't he pretty direct?
He said he wants to play the other guys. He said he wants to play other guys in that. So he's telling
fair.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything wrong by Jimmy Collins, but I mean his trade value is zero. I don't know what it would have been before, but how much is, I guess, because you'll invariably hear that Belichick's going to trade for him for pennies on the dollar.
That's the thing. Is he coming back here?
Is there anything
left
with him?
Well, the problem is, I think he's actually, and I have to look it up, but I think he's actually making pretty good money, which is going to make him really hard to trade, And so my guess would be that they, and I haven't looked into this, but my guess would be, if I made a couple phone calls on it, what I'd find out is that they maybe tried to shop him around a little bit over the early parts of this week, didn't get anything. And now they're maybe thinking to themselves, let's just put it out there that he's available and let's see if we can get something for him before we cut him. That'd be my guess.
Okay.
All right.
So, I mean, would the Patriots even have interest at this point, do you think?
I mean, I don't see why not. I think it'd be an upgrade over Juwan Bentley, don't you? I mean, Belichick seems to love Juwan Bentley.
I haven't been paying attention, but, to be honest, to Jamie Collins since he's been gone.
I was told that Bentley's playing really well now.
He's playing
better against the Jets. But the idea that Collins, who had his 1 year here in 2019 and got paid and then went somewhere else and didn't play well, this is like what happened when he went to Cleveland. He came back here and played really, really well. So it seems to me that, you know, if Belichick can orchestrate a rebirth once, why can't he do it twice for a team that's supposed to make the playoffs?
And what you hear about Jamie, too, is that he's very, obviously he's athletically gifted. We all know what sort of athlete he is. But he's, for one reason or another, sort of specific to what the Patriots do, right? So he doesn't fit everyone. And that's why Patricia wound up paying him. And that's why he was of less value to Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn and all those guys on that staff than he was to Patricia. So it could be one of these cases where, you know, he just has more value to somebody who runs the Patriot system than he would to almost any other team. And I still think your roster's in a spot where it's like you can't have enough good players. And if you feel like your defense is going to have to carry you, having that extra layer of depth to me, with a guy who's got that much background in your system, has won, I think, two championships, mm-hmm. right? Two championships with you. I think there would definitely be some value there. Now, the question is, like, how you get him on the field. And they do have some depth at linebacker. So, you know, where does he fit in with Bentley and Van Noy and Hightower? Like, that much I don't know. But I think he's a versatile enough player where you could probably find a role for him. And, you know, obviously now you've got Matt Patricia in the building, so you've got somebody who's been around him pretty recently, too.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be glad to have that reunion. I'm sure that's going to love that. Before we let you go, Fred brought this up yesterday, and I have not heard the clip, but I think it's pretty funny. So I guess Boomer Esiason was saying on, I don't know, Fred, if it was like on Inside the NFL or something, but he came out and said that he believes that if the draft could be done once again with everyone knowing what they know now, that he believes Mac Jones would have been the first drafted quarterback. Okay.
I mean, come on.
has there been such a drastic opinion in only 2 weeks on all of these guys that is that truly a train of thought amongst owners and GMs throughout this league?
We have a lot of time to talk about the draft every year, and we've had 3 years to talk about Trevor Lawrence since he won that national championship, 3.5 years since he won that championship at Clemson, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that people really understand that Trevor Lawrence is separate from the rest of these guys, okay? Like, so we can argue, if you want, Mac versus Zach Wilson. We can argue Mac versus Justin Fields versus Trey Lance. Like, let's not go there with Trevor Lawrence, because
it sounds very similar to what I was saying yesterday. That,
yeah, I mean, like,
Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent.
I mean, the best quarterback prospects in 9 years.
Is he going to be ruined? Are they going to ruin that kid?
I mean, maybe. Like, here's the thing, though. Like, I thought this was interesting. So, yeah, I had Trent Dilfer on my podcast or my web show earlier this week, and I thought he brought up a really good analogy for how they're playing Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. He said, like, most quarterbacks, you want to protect them, right? And you want to do what the Patriots are doing, which is kind of do a lot of hand-holding that first year, right? Like, as far as, like, the situations they're in and what they're facing and everything else. Mm-hmm. There are rare quarterbacks that can really handle, just throw him out there and let him learn by fire, right?
Yeah.
And so the analogy that that Trent used to compare, Trevor Lawrence to a previous quarterback was to Peyton Manning in Indianapolis in 1998. And if you remember, the Colts just sort of threw Peyton Manning out there and let him make his mistakes and let him learn through them, because they knew he had been under such a searing spotlight for so long, and he was mature enough that he could handle all of it. And so that was going to accelerate his learning curve. And Trent's point was that's what Jacksonville is doing right now with Trevor Lawrence, where they don't have to worry as much about his confidence as you would with another quarterback. So let's go let him
or his ribs. Or his protection.
I mean, that part of it, I definitely think we have to watch. But
yes.
But I think it's playing him a different way. Like, this is an amazing number. I used this on the midday show the other day. Do you know that the Patriots have been in third down 28 times, okay? 28 times over the first two games. On only four of those occasions has it been third and 10 or longer. That's incredible. Wow. Like that, as far as managing him, like he has not been in third and long yet, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
Then you look at like the score, right? He is like in two games as an NFL player has not yet been down by more than a possession. All right. So like, I think making sweeping judgments over, you know, and I'll send you guys like some of the numbers that I came up with too. If you look at the first 2 weeks, like they aren't for quarterbacks in the past, they aren't really kind of any kind of harbinger of anything.
Well, I looked at Boomer's rookie year. I mean, I looked at he started seven games. They didn't even start nine of the games.
Who's this? Boomer size.
Boomer. I looked at Boomer's rookie's numbers to see just how great he was in his first two games. He didn't even start them.
Yeah. So here's the thing, guys. Until we see Mac Jones playing from behind, until we see Mac Jones in third and long consistently, I think he's been great so far. From what I've heard, the Patriots trust him. They're letting him run the offense at the line. There's a lot of great signs here, right? But we don't need to go overboard and say like he would have gone in front of Trevor Lawrence when we haven't even really seen him in third and long yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him playing from behind. Like, have we even really, like, how much of him have we seen in like have to have it situations where you know he's throwing the ball? Even that drive against the Dolphins at the end of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't like with a minute 30 left. They had time to – they could run the ball there, right?
Yeah.
So my whole point is, like, until we see a young quarterback in the context where everyone in the building knows he's throwing the ball and he still gets it done, we really don't know. How many times were
– like Sammy D last night.
Yeah, he was great.
Sammy D looked pretty good.
He did look pretty good. Well, listen, playing against trash, but he looked pretty good.
Yeah, and he's on a good team. All right. Thank you, Bert Breer, MMQB. We'll break. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Great to see you, man.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.